turning your Bible with me to this familiar passage of scripture found in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9 and beginning with verse 10. Luke chapter 9 beginning with verse 10. And when you have that, would you please stand if you're able to stand? This will be projected on the screen. Let us stand in honor of God's word. Luke chapter 9 beginning with verse 10. These words are found. And the apostles, when they had returned, told Jesus all that they had done. Then Jesus took them and went aside privately to a deserted place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed Jesus, and Jesus received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to Jesus, "Send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there are about 5,000 men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them." This is the word of God. Please be seated. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? One of the things that we have to notice in our society is that the generosity toward those who are in greatest need has been drying up. Amen. There are institutions who have been open for years who provide service to the underprivileged citizens of our country who are now running out of funding. Because our government is careless and heartless, many of the programs that serve the needs of the underprivileged in our country are being cut to shreds. And philanthropy is drying up. And so money that is flowing to the greater to meet the needs of the least of these is growing more shallow. So how is the church to respond in a society where money is drying up? I hope to address something of this response by the church in this parable that has been lifted for our consideration this morning. And I need you to give me a little time to talk to you about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is a reality now. And we've talked in the past about how the kingdom is here, but not yet fully come. And you and I, if we are Christians, we call ourselves citizens of another kingdom. And that kingdom is the kingdom of God. And we always talking about how God rules and super rule. How we have a president, but we have a president of presidents. How there are kings, but we have a king of kings. And Jesus is that king. So as we look at this text this morning, I want to say something about the kingdom economy. The kingdom economy. Now I have to admit that, you know, once when I talked about it this morning, it's not that simple, but you are growing Christians, and I know that you can handle what I'm about to say. One of the greatest themes, one of the major themes that Jesus had during his ministry, he had two, and we know that money was one. We know that you've heard it time and time again, but the thing that Jesus talked about the most in his ministry was the kingdom of God. He commenced his ministry in Luke chapter 4, and the scripture that he used that was taken from Isaiah really is a scripture that was used to announce the messianic kingdom, that the kingdom had come. that the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You know that section of Luke? Yes, the opening of blind eyes of the blind, that it is the announcement of the messianic kingdom. So when Jesus read that scripture and sat down and the people looked at him in the synagogue that day, and he said, today is this scripture being fulfilled in your ears, he was announcing that the kingdom of God had come. So his preaching announced the kingdom of God, and through his ministry, his parables about the kingdom of God, his action was a demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God. And his teachings were often about the kingdom of God. He referred to the kingdom of God for all 3 years of his public ministry. And he exhorted his disciples, those who he sent out to preach. He told them to go out and preach about the kingdom of God. His death and resurrection did not change his emphasis.
Amen. Amen.
You remember when Jesus was crucified. Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he said, if I were the king in this world, then my subjects will come to help me. But I'm a king, but not of this world. And when he was crucified, the placard above his head was written in 3 languages, and it says, here is the King of the Jews. And it was the world mocking Jesus and his death. But on Resurrection Sunday, he was vindicated as King of Kings who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Even during after his resurrection, between his resurrection and his ascension, he talked to the disciples about the kingdom of heaven. And then he ascended into heaven. How many of y'all believe what the scripture says about Jesus ascending into heaven? He ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, where he now sits and reigns forevermore. Now, Jesus is king of an invisible kingdom. And for those of us who claim his name, who claim to be Christian, you and I are part of a kingdom movement. We are citizens of another kingdom that is not of this world. Y'all are listening. Every time I see how the poor and immigrants and the underserved are treated not only in this country but around the world, I am so thankful that I am not a citizen of this world. I am here temporarily, but my citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship is with the kingdom of God. And in order for you and I to know how to participate in this world, we got to come to grips with the fact that we have in us something that is different. Something that sets us apart. The power of God. The resources of the kingdom of heaven. But unless we know what that is, we will be ineffectual.
Amen.
Jesus announced the kingdom of God. He personified the kingdom. In his model prayer, he taught us, this is how you pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice, he didn't say, he said thy will be done on earth. He didn't say you wait to get to heaven to do his will. His kingdom work needs to be done on earth. And see, my evangelical friends, especially of the Caucasian persuasion, they got it all wrong. They want to let the world get torn up because Jesus is going to come and transform it anyway, but that is not his marching orders. Jesus' marching orders to the church is you take care of the least of these, my brethren. Jesus says to us early in his ministry, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's a command. Seek first the kingdom of God. That means to search for it. It means to look for it. It means to desire to know it. And what you are to know, you must know the kingdom principles. You must know kingdom practices. You must know kingdom promises. And you must know kingdom priority. Because it is no joke today.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. Jesus might not come back for another 1,000 years. Yes. So
So you might as well settle in and get ready to do kingdom work. It is only when we understand the practices, promises, priorities of the kingdom that you and I will be able to know how to participate and prosper as we sojourn through this work. Y'all with me so far?
Yes.
And this familiar passage of scripture that's been read for us today, you know, we've heard it preached before, you've read it before, I've preached it before, but don't trip on that, because what I've discovered is that every time I read the scripture, every time I preach a passage that I've already preached before, the Holy Spirit discloses something that I didn't see before.
Amen.
Because the Word of God is living. It's a living, and it addresses us right now. So don't trip just because you heard this passage before.
Amen.
But it has to do, I want to point out some principles, kingdom principles of economics that's operating in the lives of ordinary people in text. Kingdom principles of economics that are operating in the lives of the ordinary people in this text. Now this text, this miracle is significant for a number of reasons. This miracle of the fish and the loaves is the only miracle that is found in all four of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, John chapter 5, all tell of the occasion of the feeding of the 5,000 with two fish and five barley loaves. And in each of those narratives, there was 12 baskets of fragments left over. Now I'm going to pause right here to bring to your attention that in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15, there is an additional miracle of the feeding of the multitude. In chapter 15 of the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus had moved into Gentile territory. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those that I have already mentioned, Jesus is dealing in Jewish territory. But when he moves into Gentile territory, he feeds a multitude. And there is a multitude of 4,000, and there are seven fish, or seven loaves of bread, and there are seven baskets of fragments left over. Now for those of you who are into numbers in the Bible, let me point out some theological significance of the numbers. In the first four feedings that we see, the five loaves represent the five books of Moses. And the 12 baskets represent the 12 tribes of Israel. In the second feeding, the 4,000 people represents people from the four corners of the earth. And the seven baskets left over is a demonstration that God is able to complete, to include everybody in his kingdom plan. For those Jewish crowds that followed Jesus on that day, they would remember their Bible study lessons for growing up, how when Israel came out of Exodus in Egypt, 15 days after they got into the wilderness, they ran out of bread. And the people were upset with Moses, and they said, Moses, why did you bring us out here so we can starve to death? Moses talked to God, and God said, tell them to chill, because I'm going to rain bread down from heaven. So every morning when they woke up, God had on the grass in the field little wafers that looked like wafers and taste like coriander seed, and the people would gather it all up, and when they gathered it all up, they had a loaf, and the people saw it, they didn't know what it was, they called it manna. So God provided in a miraculous way in the wilderness when the people came out of Egypt in the Exodus. 3 months later, after God had rained manna on the ground, they came to the mountain of Sinai, where God gave them the law. So the people following Jesus that day would be familiar with the familiar circumstances, how in the wilderness the people got hungry, and how God not only fed them, but also gave them the law. So in our text, the wilderness, it is Jesus who is the living word of God, the bread of heaven, that teaches us that the bread of heaven comes to heal the spiritual satisfaction, but also is able to put food on your table. Have I got a witness in here this morning? Let me say something about bread under these circumstances. For you and I, bread is an option. So you get your collard greens. Somebody say you want some cornbread now. Bread is an option. You want bread with this meal now. Bread is an option. For you and I. But in the context of this text, this multitude that Jesus is feeding this morning, bread was a necessity. Bread was the staple for many households. If you had bread, you could make it. Somebody said that 90% of the income of the people in the text of their income was spent for bread. Bread was a major economic factor. The core of many diets was bread. It was what was on the table day after day and week after week. And maybe that's where we get the phrase, being the breadwinner. Bread was a major economic component. As a matter of fact, that's why Jesus said, when you pray, say, God, give us this day our daily bread, because he recognizes the daily necessity of bread. Bread was an economic factor, just like, you know, just like money for you.
Amen.
You gotta have at least a minimum wage job if you want to put some food on the table.
Amen.
Bread is an economic factor in the text. Y'all remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? Yeah, you remember? Anybody remember what Jesus said? So Jesus, before he started his ministry, after the baptized Tessum in the Jordan by John the Baptist, his cousin, he was led up into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
And the Bible says that after Jesus had fasted 40 days and was hungry, then Satan came to tempt him.
Yes.
And the first temptation that the Satan had for Jesus had to do with bread. Satan said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, why don't you turn this stone into bread? And at first glance, you would think that the temptation that Satan was putting before Jesus was simply a temptation that Jesus should satisfy his own physical needs. If you're hungry and you're Son of God, go ahead, magically turn one of these rocks into bread and eat it. And at a lesser level, that's true. But at a deeper level, what Satan was trying to tempt Jesus to do was to become an economic Messiah. In other words, devil was saying to Jesus in a subtle way, Jesus, you can bypass all of the hardship that you get ready to go through. You can go beyond all of the rejection that you're going to experience. Jesus, you don't have to get arrested in the garden. You don't have to be crucified on Golgotha. You don't have to die and be buried and raised from the dead to be a king. All you have to do is put bread on everybody's table all the time and a chicken in everybody's pot, and the hungry peasant will make you their king. Go through all of that, because what they need most and what they're looking for is some money, some bread. And if you can meet their physical needs, they will make you. As a matter of fact, in the gospel according to John, after Jesus performed this miracle, he had to slip away. And the reason he had to slip away is because the people would have taken him and forced him to be king. So Satan is saying to Jesus, you don't need to do all that. You can achieve your goal by turning stones to bread. And Jesus says, yes, but man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, they need more than bread. They need to be redeemed. They need to be forgiven of their sins. They need to be born again. And it's going to take my suffering. It's going to take my death. It's going to take my burial and my resurrection in order for them to get what they need. in one wilderness, God rains down bread from heaven for his people. In another wilderness, the bread of heaven resisted temptation to become an economic messiah. God's goal is not to give you all the material stuff that you want.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
In this text, Jesus doesn't turn stones to bread, but he teaches by demonstration a kingdom principle of economics. He miraculously multiplies what he has already given to his people. Y'all didn't get that. He multiplies what he's already given to his people. And when you and I have enough faith and trust in God to give back to him what he has already given us, it's a principle of kingdom economics. So look at the scene. Let's look at the scene right quick. Here in our text, a multitude has followed Jesus, a multitude of people. In Jesus' time, there were only two classes, rich and poor. And there are very few rich people in this crowd. This multitude that followed Jesus are people whom Jesus has touched in some kind of way. Just like you, Jesus has touched you in some kind of way, and that's why you follow him. He's answered a prayer. He's healed somebody's body. He lifted someone's burden or touched someone's heart. He has spoke to your personal condition. He's forgiven your sins and healed your leprosy and given you faith. And these are the people that make up the multitude of ordinary people who follow Jesus, who experience this kingdom principle. Bible says that he received them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. The people that followed Jesus received the word of God, but now they need something to eat. Because while man can't live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God, man can't live without bread to eat.
Amen.
Amen. You gotta have bread. That's why James says, don't, if you see your brother in need, don't say, the Lord be with you, the Lord bless you, and just let him go. You can't just say, God bless you, I'm gonna pray for you, and let him go. If you have something, you wanna share it. That's kingdom principle. Listen, let me bore you with some statistics, and I'm gonna. I saw a statistic last week, it was startling. It said in Nigeria, every day 240 children starve to death. That by the end of this year, in excess of 75,000 are expected to die of starvation. But listen to this. In America, according to the census, 15.6 million households are what they call food insecure. That means where people are having difficulty providing food to all family members due to limited resources. 6.1 million households are what they call low food security. That means food intake is decreased and somebody is not eating food at all at some point during the year. But not only that, 0.8%, 3.1 million households in America were unable to provide adequate food nutrition for their children, and most of those households claim to be Christians, either Catholic or Protestant. And so when I look at the text this morning, you can see in the crowd those individuals who are following Jesus are with us today. And yet Jesus is the one who said not too much earlier that don't worry about anything. Don't worry about tomorrow, what you will eat or what you will wear. For your heavenly Father knows what you need in advance. And if he provides for the bird, then surely he will provide for you. That's ringing in the ears of those individuals who are following Jesus and in the ears of his disciples. Look at the text. And the text, the disciples are looking at the crowd and the enormity of the need. They say to Jesus, you got to send these people away to get something to eat. They need to go someplace else and get something to eat. And Jesus, wanting to disclose the kingdom economic principle, says to them, no, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. Y'all, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm at this morning. You give them something to eat. He's talking to disciples. You give them something take it. The disciple says, all we have here, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Only the gospel according to John tells us where the loaves and fish come from. John says that there's a lad there, a little boy, with a poor boy's lunch. He has what is equivalent to 2 small fish, larger than sardines, and 5 wafers made of barley. And the disciples come to Jesus and say, what is this in the face of such great need? Because there are 5,000 men, plus women and children. Jesus takes the fish and loaves and says to the disciples, organize the people. Make them sit down in 50s. And then Jesus takes what they have, and looking up to heaven, he blesses the fish and the loaves, and then he begins to break and distribute. And the disciples come with their basket. They are perplexed because Jesus is breaking these loaves. And the language in the text helps us to understand that as long as they were passing out the fragments, Jesus was breaking the loaves. Because God knows how to take what you give him and meet your need. Somebody must know that from experience in here this morning. We got some people in here this morning who come up short in your household. And you turn to God and say, this is all I have. And ask God's blessing on the little bit that you have. And when God finishes blessing you, everybody is fed and there's something left over. All the bills are paid. And those that are not, they can hold on for another week. God knows how to take the little bit that you give and bless it. It was a last lunch. It was a last lunch that Jesus broke. And when he finished breaking and dividing, he's given it to the disciples. Lord have mercy. You didn't see the disciples going off to the side, putting baskets of food in their cars. Robbing up food plates, hiding them. As if they've never seen food before, stuffing it in their pockets. That's the way some of us do. With the resources that God gives you, you stash it here and there. And I want you to know that God, all he has to do is blow on it and it'll be gone. I want to recommend to you this morning that when God gives you resources for the kingdom, you ought to bring them to the kingdom. The disciples, they got these baskets of food, and they aren't stashing them for themselves. They are using their resources that God has put in their hand to meet other needs. And this is what, this is the kind of God we serve. When they finished with all those resources, they had 12 baskets left over. Y'all know what? You gotta rethink your theology. Because I heard some preachers say that each one of those disciples had a basket. No, that basket wasn't for them. That basket was because there's some other cities and some other people and some other multitude that needed to be blessed. When God blesses you, he blesses you to be a blessing to somebody else. He blesses you to be a blessing for somebody else. And you can't be too generous because you can't be God-given. No matter how hard you try, I dare you to try it. Just try to be generous to somebody in the kingdom of God and watch what God does to your resources. Because he's able. He's able to supply. And I got to witness up in here. Let me try to give you 3 fundamental principles, and I'm finished. 3, and I do have to go. No offense, but when I took my shoe off this afternoon, my foot looked like a fat black potato with toes instead of eyes. Oh, excuse me. Let me. Tim was looking at me like, what's that? three principles. They simple principles. But I need you to remember, simple principles. Kingdom, we're talking about the kingdom of God. You and I represent Jesus on earth.
Amen.
You and I being a part of a movement that Jesus started that is contrary, diametrically opposed to the world system. Diametrically. The first priority, the first kingdom of principle is the kingdom priority is to glorify the King.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not for your glory. It's for God's glory. And so in the text we see God arranges to get the glory. And there's a caveat, you know, in the Gospel according to John, that Jesus already knew what he would do. When he asked them to get ready, he already knew what he would do. And so in that wilderness condition, God arranged to get the glory. He demonstrated that he is bigger. Big enough to shadow all our finite expectations and to abundantly supply for our needs. And you know that, amen?
Amen.
There are times when God brought us to a place of tough times. You ever been there?
Yes.
And then he brought you through that place.
Yes.
So that when you look back,
hallelujah,
when you come through,
yes,
you will know that nobody but God could have done it for you. Have you ever been there? And you will give him praise for what he has done. And in the text, we notice that God uses a person whose name we don't even know. It's been 2,000 years. We still don't know his name. He's an unnamed lad. He has no plaques on the wall, no banquet given in his honor. There's no special mention. He's just a lad. But his witness is in heaven, and his name is on high. This lad's work, this lad's offering is still being discussed 2,000 years later. And that's because God doesn't need a great name to glorify. He uses generous, no-name people in order to get to glory. Yes, he does. Notice in the text, Jesus didn't say to the disciples, go get a donation from the rich young ruler. He didn't say, go to the rich fool's storehouse and get some bread. He didn't say, go to Zacchaeus, that chief tax collector, and tell him, I said, send me some money. No, Jesus used a lad's lunch. He used what he had already given to people. And this one who was willing to give up the little he had discovered that when he put his little in God's hand, then God could get the glory. And my brothers and sisters, that's what we want to do. We want to glorify God. When we lift Jesus up, he will draw all men unto him. Whatever blessings you have in your life, you ought to be able to give God the glory. When somebody commends you on the progress that you made, you ought to say glory to God. When somebody commends you on how well you are managing your life, you ought to say God gets the glory. Great things he has done. How many of you are willing to give God the glory? The Bible says, give God glory in all things. The kingdom priority is to glorify God. I don't know about you, but I don't mind blessing his great name. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as water covers the sea. Jesus, the last line of the Lord's Prayer said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Somebody here right now, you can look back and remember your meager beginnings. Anybody here ever had meager beginnings? Y'all remember struggling at the start? And you can consider where you are this morning and glorify God because he alone is the one who has blessed you. To God be the glory. Glorify God! Nobody's interested in our name. The second notice we noticed that it was the last lunch that God used to get glory for himself. So the second principle is, in the kingdom economy, God uses what he has already given to us. Two fish, five loaves in the hands of the disciples. It didn't seem like much, but it's what Jesus used to meet that need. So whatever you have, my brothers and sisters, however insignificant you think your gift is, however inadequate your resources or contribution, when you use it for God's glory and put it in God's hand, he will bless it.
Listen.
In the world economy, you got to have money to make money. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You got to have. If you were fortunate enough and had the right connections and enough money to purchase stock, 10 or 20 shares of the initial public offering, y'all know what that is? Yeah. IPO of companies like Amazon, yeah. Apple, Facebook, you'll be wealthy right now. Because in the world, it takes money to make money. And see, if some of y'all had that kind of money, you probably wouldn't be here right now. You'd be on some island in Central Pace somewhere with a sign on Facebook saying you should be here. In the world, it takes money. You gotta have some to make some. But in the kingdom economy, thank God, he uses what he has already given you. And everybody under the sound of my weak voice has something that God has given you. As a matter of fact, whatever you have, God has given it to you, and he already knows what you have before he asks you for anything. And when you put what you have in service for God, I'm a witness that he blesses it for his own glory. And don't look around at other people. That's why I don't compare myself to other people. I don't compare myself to other people. Because if I compare myself to other people, I'm always going to exalt myself for having more or debase myself for having less. So I don't compare myself to other people because I'm only responsible for what God has given me. Amen.
Amen.
He doesn't hold me accountable for what he didn't give me. He gives me that which is for me. And so when God gives me that which is for me, I'm thankful to God that he gave me anything. And he knows my limitation, and I trust his judgment, so I'm just thankful for what he's done. If there's anybody here this morning, that's not where you would like to be, but you are thankful for what he's done. Is there anybody here this morning? It could be better, but it could be worse. And so you are here this morning just thanking God that it is well as it is. Because God can take the little bit that we have. Praise the Lord. He can take the little bit that we have, the limited resources that we have, and he can get a blessing for himself. He can take two fish and five loaves and feed a multitude. He can take your mustard seed of faith and you can move mountains in your life. As David, he can take a sling and a stone and defeat a warrior giant named Goliath. If you ask Gideon, he'll tell you he can take 300 people, trumpets, jars, and lamps and defeat a great Midianite army. If you ask Israel, they'll tell you that God can take marching feet around walls of stone and turn and shout, and God can bring those walls down. Because little becomes much when you put it in the master's hand. Your limited resources to become all that he needs. Your limited opportunities and the blessing when God has it. Your limited exposure. You can trust God and he will make it work on your behalf. You can trust God because he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So the little bit that you have, bring it to Jesus. Amen. One last principle. Simple. Do what he says. That's simple enough, isn't it? So in the world there are financial advisors that people seek out for advice. Some of y'all know people like Warren Buffett, Dave Ramsey. Anybody know Dave Ramsey? Y'all don't know Dave Ramsey? Y'all don't know Dave Ramsey? Robert Kiyosaki? Susie Orman?
Yes.
These are people who make their living by giving advice, financial advice. So you look them up, you go pay them a fee. They sit you down and tell you what to do. They tell you what to do. They tell you what to do. And because you trust them, you go and you do it. They are financial advisors with limited resources, limited advice. People like you and I that you seek out and get financial advice, they tell you what to do with your money. And then sell you a product to do it with. And you go do it. Well, King Jesus doesn't give advice. He gives directives. Have the men sit down. Bring the fish and loaves to me. And when they did what he said, they were blessed. When you do what he says, you'll be blessed. Listen, let me say it again. I'll be finished with you in a minute. Some of you, my brothers and sisters, you're struggling financially. And you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And there are kingdom principles, kingdom practices, kingdom priorities at work in the kingdom. And because you are a citizen of the kingdom, they impact your life. God says, bring the tithe. It's a kingdom practice. And when you bring the tithe, then what you need, God will open the window and pour out blessings. See, y'all in the room. Y'all in the room. See, somebody said, well, you know, tithing is Old Testament. And we New Testament. So I ain't tithing, but that's Old Testament. But then you turn around and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. No. That's Old Testament. You don't get to claim that. No, you don't get to claim that. Blessed is the man who walk not in the his feet shall be like you don't get to claim that. You that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. You don't get to claim that. You know, I know the plans I have for you. No, you don't get to claim that. That's Old Testament. You can't claim that. You can't claim all the promises of the kingdom and then reject the practices of the kingdom. I know I'm talking to you. I know I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you. You don't get the promises of the kingdom unless you do the practice. Do what he says. Amen. Do what he said, and you will be blessed. There's always a return on your investment when you do what he said. Man can't live by bread alone, and some of y'all don't need bread. Some of y'all got enough money right now. What you really need to do is go write a huge check to the Ebenezer Foundation and then transfer some money out of your storehouse into your checking account tomorrow to cover that check. Hey, so I ain't got nobody now. Everybody's gone now. I don't have anybody. You know why? Because y'all like the disciples. You got those baskets. You stuffing them here and stuffing them there. And you got them set up for retirement. And tomorrow ain't even promised. Do what he says. And you'll be blessed. There's always a return on them. Some of y'all don't need bread. But you need the peace that comes from God. The peace that only God can give. You don't need bread, but you need that joy that the world can't give, the world can't take away. You might have enough bread, but you need contentment. So that's what and sisters, when you do what God says, then you'll be blessed. Here it is, recap. You are kingdom people. Jesus is your king. You represent the kingdom of God in the United States of America. In the kingdom of God, the first priority is to glorify God. The only way some people are going to ever see God is in you. Stop thinking that what you have is too small. Whatever you have, place it in Jesus' hands. And he'll take what you give him and he will bless his kingdom. Do what he says. Amen. 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 Give it to God.